All right, so I know the first thing you're thinking is first of all, we don't believe that, right? Right? I mean, it starts off with how that, you know, in the beginning there was only ocean and then the mother island. And obviously, as Christians, we don't believe that, right? We believe that God created everything. God created the heavens and the earth, not some mother island. And so here's what the first thing I want to tell you is what we've been talking about before this series, is that God will use things to speak to you that you think God wouldn't use, just like this movie, right? And you could think, well, how could God use that movie? Because that's about, you know, new age, Mother Earthy kind of stuff, right? And we don't believe that. But God God can use it anyway. There's a church called Life Church. You may have heard of them. And one of the things that they always say is, we'll do anything short of sin to get people saved, right? We'll do anything short of sin to get people saved, right? And God kind of has the same motives. He'll do anything he can to speak to you and to get to you and for you to have a moment to hear his voice. And so first of all, obviously, we don't believe that, but that story sounds very familiar. Very familiar. One of the things they always told us at Bible school was to eat the fish and spit out the bones, right? You don't eat a fish and eat the bones with it. What does that mean? That means take the meat and leave the rest behind, right? We don't believe the new age stuff. We're going to take the message and we're going to leave the rest behind. They told Dad at his Bible school, they said, eat the hay and spit out the sticks, right? And so we're going to kind of do the same thing this morning with these clips of we're going to eat the fish and spit out the bones, but it sounds very, very familiar. There's a supreme being who creates all things. Pride and greed bring darkness and evil and a curse upon the land. Now, I want to show you Colossians 1, 15 through verse 17. And this is talking about Jesus. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authority in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. So we see in the beginning of that clip how Tafiti, it creates everything, and her heart is what brings life. We see in the Word of God where Jesus creates everything. It says that God created everything for him and through him. And so we see that correlation of that story. And then we kind of jump down, and as he takes the heart, a terrible darkness comes upon the land, right? And she begins to die, and darkness begins to spread. And then he's confronted by this lava demon who's after him, right? And we can see in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, this is talking about the devil, and it says, the serpent, right, was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, he asked Eve, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? And she says, of course we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. In verse 4, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Right? And so we see the same correlation right here in our story is that, you know, Adam and Eve are in the garden, and the devil, who is in the form of a snake, he begins to tell Eve, you know, that's not true. That's not what happened. It says in Romans 5:12 that Adam sinned. Sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Right? It's right there that when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Sin brought death, and death spread to everyone because everyone sinned. When you were born a sinner, except my baby girl, because she's an angel. Right? Right, there we go. We're getting some amens now. Right? And so you were born into sin. So you have to view sin as like a disease. Sin is like a sickness. It spreads to everyone, right? It's not based on what I've done sometimes. It's just, it's everywhere. It's in all of us all the time. As soon as you're born, as soon as you hit the ground, it's in you and on you and all around us. It's all over the earth like a curse, just like the curse we see in the beginning of this movie. And what happens is the grandma says, but without her heart, Tafiti gave birth to a terrible darkness. Now, here's what's so amazing. Number one, Disney movies always have the gospel in them somewhere. Always. If you don't get the gospel out of a Disney movie, you just need to start reading your Bible more, right? I'm just being serious. We watched Wreck-It Ralph on the way to camp, and on the bus, I'm crying at the end of that movie. Wreck-It Ralph, about a guy in a video game, and I'm bawling at the end of that movie. That is one of the most powerful movies you will ever watch, is Wreck-It Ralph. If you watch that and don't get it, come up and we'll pray for you after service. Right, and so it says a terrible darkness fell upon the land, all right? So we jump down in Genesis 3 down to verse 16, and God is speaking. He's found out that they've eaten the fruit from the tree. He told them not to eat from, and this is what God tells them. He says, then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. That's why that's the way it is, ladies. It's been the curse from the beginning. Right? You want to control him, but he rules over you. It's just been like that from the beginning. It's God's fault. Blame him. Right? Verse 17, and to the man he said, since you listened to your wife, we're always getting in trouble for that, guys, aren't we? No, I'm just kidding. It says, and the man said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it, and it will grow thorns and thistles, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made, for you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Right, we see at the beginning of our story in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man, right, where sin entered the world, darkness entered the world. And because we disobeyed God, God cursed the earth, right, and there was a curse on the earth. And if you're a farmer, right, or if you've ever tried to garden, that verse really comes to life, right? You know, that by the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat, right? And that you will struggle to scratch a living from the ground because it's been cursed, right? And so what I want you to see is the same thing. As the beginning of that movie, we see a curse come over the land. And the grandmother is telling this story to the children in this village, right? And she's got like little, you know, it's like Sunday school, right? She's got her little flannel boards and she's telling this story to the kids. And the little girl in the front of that is Moana, and she's a little girl. And then later she grows up, right? And she kind of feels like she's meant for more, that she's meant to do more. But they're told in their village that they don't go beyond the reef in the ocean, that we don't go out into the ocean. And she feels like we're supposed to. The fish are going away. They're not catching any fish. Bad things are happening on the island, like the coconut trees are rotting and they're not having any food. And they know that because of the curse that Maui stole the heart, that happened. And so we're seeing that same thing. What I think is so amazing is that at the heart of every story is identity, right? The struggle here is, she says, we have forgotten who we are. Do you know at one point or another you have forgotten who you are, right? If you've lived in the world, you know that you didn't know who you are. There are so many people that come through our doors, in Ground Zero especially, kids come in and they don't know who they are. Right? That's why we turn to the world. That's why we turn to work. That's why we turn to money. That's why we turn to right the right career, the right car, the right house, because we don't know who we are. We've forgotten. We're lost in this world because we've forgotten who we are, and the darkness continues to spread. James 1, verse 14 through 15 says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drags us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. And just as she said that this darkness continues to spread, and I love how she says that monsters lurked in the water. Right? You know that monsters lurk in the water. Right? You've lived long enough to know and to understand that monsters in the water. You say, well, that's stupid. Well, that's not, yeah, right? You know what I'm talking about. You know the pain of life, the suffering of life, right? The tragedy that people go through, the tragedy that you've been through. And because of it, we put away who we are. Right? We put that away and we tried to get rid of that and we tried to put it away. And she tells her, you know, that we're meant for more, that man, we're voyagers. And what they've done is they've stayed on this island. They haven't gone off of it. But from the beginning, what they would do is they would take those big boats and go island to island and finding new islands. But then she grows up being told, all we do is stay here. We never go beyond the reef. We just stay here. And she feels like, no, there's more for me. There's more out there for me. I know that something is missing, right? And you've all probably experienced that because you're sitting in church this morning because you're looking for something. Because you know that something is missing, that there has to be more than just the daily grind of life. Right? There has to be more out there. There has to be more than this. Right? And so she knows and finds out that that's true for her. And the same is true for you. In Ephesians 1, verse 4 through 6, it says, even before God made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Now look at this. Verse 4 says that God loved us and chose us. Right? He loved us before he made the world. Think about this for a minute. Think about before this dirt ball was spinning in the sky, being thrown around the sun, God knew he wanted you. This isn't even all here. He didn't think, oh, I'll take Lou since she's here. No, before the foundations of the world, God chose you and God loved you and decided in advance to adopt you into his family. Right? There is more. Right? And monsters do lurk in the water. And you better get on the right side. You better get on God's side. Right? You better be in church. You better be getting equipped. You better be in your word because the monsters aren't going anywhere till Jesus gets back. Right? But he lives in me. And right? You know, what can come against me? Amen? Because God is with me. Amen? And so it doesn't matter what the devil throws at me because I have Jesus Christ dwelling on the inside of me. The same power that raised him from the dead lives in me. Think about that. Jesus is dead and in the ground, and the same spirit that raised his body up off of that tomb, off that slab, lives on the inside of you. But we don't live like it. You're not looking at me like you know it. You're looking at me like a cow in a new gate. Right? Like it's a little too early in the morning, right? You need to get some fire in your bones. Now this scene should ring a bell because you hear it every day, right? She said that the ocean chose me, and what does Maui do? He begins to attack her calling. Right, I talk about how the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and the devil's telling you right now, no, not you. Maybe that guy on the front row or maybe that guy over there, but it ain't you, right? Because you've done this or been here or been that or done whatever, right? And so we see that Maui begins to question her calling, and we see how the devil does the very same thing. I want to read to you Genesis 3, 4 through 5. We were just there, and the devil is talking to Eve, and he says, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. You know what the devil always does is he attacks God's character. He attacks his heart. He makes you think you can't trust God, right? She says, the ocean, you know, chose me. The ocean picked me. And what does he say? If the ocean's so smart, why didn't it just take the heart back itself? Right? Why are we doing all this? If God's so amazing, why doesn't he just take care of everything? Right? Why are we dealing with all of this? And then he goes on to say, why didn't he just take the heart back itself? And why didn't it bring me back my hook? He says, the ocean is straight up kooky dukes. Right? And the devil, you know what's so sad, is the devil used that on Eve over 6,000 years ago, and we haven't made the devil come up with new material. He still uses the same thing on you. And we listen to it. Right? And we let the devil begin to question God's character, and then we think, well, maybe I can't trust God. Maybe God's not going to come through for me. Maybe I'll go to church And I'll play the whole religion thing, but I'm going to have a backup plan over here. Right? You know, I'm going to make sure I've got some money stashed away in case God doesn't show up. Right? In case this all kind of goes down the tube, right? You know, or whatever. We put our hope, we put our faith, we put our trust in everything but God. You know, and you can be in church every single week and not put your faith and hope and trust in God. You can sit in those seats and you can sit through worship and you can sit through the message and you throw a tip in the basket and never trust God. Right? You know, trusting God is the absolute scariest thing you will ever do. The absolute scariest thing you will ever do. And that's why 90% of Christians don't ever do it. Because we're not brave enough to do it. We trust the things we can see, the tangible, more than we trust God. And we see how the devil's using the same thing on us that we see in this clip. John 8:44. Jesus is speaking in this verse. Don't read it yet, okay? Wait till I read it to you, right? Eyes up here, okay? Jesus is speaking to a group of people, and he's really mad. He's frustrated, right? He's getting ticked off. And he's like, these people are like, we know God, but we don't know you. And he says, that's impossible. You can't know God, not know me, because God sent me. So he's getting kind of ticked off. He's getting kind of frustrated. So this is what he tells them. John 8:44 says, for you are the children of your father, the devil. Now think if I opened the message with that. You know, y'all all belong to your daddy, the devil. You'd be like, I ain't coming back next Sunday. That fool's crazy. Right, I ain't blind, no devil, right? For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. Another translation says that he was a sinner from the beginning. He always hated truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Here's what you have to understand. Anytime you hear anything negative in your mind, your heart, your ears, you know it's the devil, right? Your mama tells you ain't going to ever measure up. You know, Peter told Jesus, you're not going to the cross. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Right? They were buddies. They were friends. You know, think if you spoke into a friend's life and they were like, get behind me, Satan. You'd be like, don't talk to me like that. Right? And when negativity comes your way, when you hear voices that you're never going to be a good mom, you're never going to be a good dad, you're never going to measure up, you're never going to get past your family name, you're never going to get over this hump in your life, that's the devil and he's lying. Okay, the devil can't tell the truth, right? You know, the Bible says, God told me that I'm righteous because of Jesus. Right, because of what he's done, not because of what I do. Right, it's already done. He has made me righteous. Right, we could jump back to Deuteronomy and the promises of God, and that I'm the head and not the tail. Right, I'm above and never beneath. Right, that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Right, God's word is a lamp to me, my feet, and a light to my path in the darkness. Come on, somebody's preaching. I mean, come on. I mean, and you got to begin to put the word in you. So when the devil begins to speak lies, you say, no, that ain't true, because I know what's true. I know what God has spoken over me. I know what God has called me. And when the devil does that, when he does that in that clip, and when the devil does that to you, you can say no. And you don't begin to second guess yourself. You don't begin to second guess what God's called you to do. Begin to second guess that the living God dwells on the inside of you. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? That's what the devil has come to do. And anytime that's happening in your life, anytime a relationship's falling apart, it's the devil, right? Anytime there's destruction in your life, it's the devil. A pastor said one time, you should treat difficulty as warfare. What does that mean? That means when difficulty comes my way, it's the devil, and I'm going to fight, right? I'm going to get him off of me. Amen? Amen. So I want you to recognize that. Another thing you can notice about this clip that I think is very interesting is I think about Jesus when he was on the earth and when he was out in the desert and he was fasting. And he fasted for 40 days. And the devil came towards the end of that and began to tempt Jesus, right? And the thing that the devil used on Jesus is, can you trust God? You know, they knew each other. I think what was written down in the Bible is only a part of what the devil and he talked about. I believe there was more of a conversation. Don't you know the devil said, God sent you? Why you? Who are you? And then don't you think, Jesus is hungry, he stinks, his old beard's all scraggly, And think about Jesus, the most, you know, beautiful, glorious thing ever created. And the devil says, you could do all this for them? For them? For man? Don't you think he told them, I'm not going to have to do anything. They'll destroy themselves. I'm not going to have to do anything. And you're doing all of this for them. But Jesus fought through that because he knew who he was. He knew his true identity. Amen. And you have to settle that in your heart through Jesus Christ. You have to let God do that so that you can be the same way. You can be settled in your identity. Now, in movies, they can be different. In certain movies, you can have a bad guy who's a bad guy, a devil character throughout the whole movie. Tangled is a good example of this. If you haven't seen Tangled, we have homework this week. You're going to go home and you're going to rent it and you're going to watch it, okay? And Mother Gothel plays a devil character throughout the whole movie. We see Maui in different clips, plays a bad guy, but then towards the end of the movie, he comes back and plays a good guy, right? And so in different scenes, we can see ourselves in Moana, but then at the end of this scene, we see ourselves in the lava monster. Now, there's so much in this clip. There's so much. One of the things is think how they're there to save her, and all she's trying to do is kill them. Right? We see this in Ground Zero. Right? We see it in Power Kids. All we're trying to do is save them from darkness, but most of the time, there's a certain group of kids that just fight you on it. They don't want it. Right? And we see the same thing. All right, here I want to read to you Ephesians 4:17 through 19, and it says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. Now, Gentiles can also mean heathens. I told them this in Ground Zero, and a kid said, what's a heathen? I said, you're a heathen. That's what a heathen is, right? And so that's not true. The kids are amazing. But what a heathen is a sinner. So you can look to your neighbor if you're wondering what a heathen is. So don't do the things the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they close their minds and harden their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Now I want to back up to verse 18. And it says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life that God gives because they've closed their mind and hardened their hearts. What I think is so amazing about this clip is that as that lava monster, there's kind of that hardness shell over her, right? And so many of us, that's exactly what our hearts look like, right? We sit in church, right? We try to do the right thing, but our hearts are hard. They're hard, right? Because we've had encounters with the monsters that lurk in the water, and we've hardened our hearts because we don't want to be hurt. We're trying to protect ourselves, right? And then what happens because of that is you close your mind off, and then you can't receive what God has for you. I think it's so sad when I see people in church that have been here a very long time, and we can see things in their life that they don't recognize. Right, I can see friends in my life that I think, how do you not see this? How come you won't receive what we're trying to give to you? We're just trying to help you. How come you won't open your mind? Why won't you open up your heart and listen? And it's because that we've closed our minds off. We've closed our hearts off because we don't want to hear, and we've hardened our hearts. And I think what's so amazing is she gets to the top of the mountain and she realizes that the island is gone. Now, if you noticed in the clip, the part of the ocean that is a crater is shaped like a person laying down. That's in the shape of a person laying down. And then she realizes that the lava monster is the island. And she tells the ocean to let her come to me. And as she walks out onto that water, she says, I've crossed the horizons to find you. Do you realize, do you think when Jesus laid in that manger, he thought, I have crossed the galaxies to find you. I have crossed the galaxies to find you. And then she says, this is not who you are. They have stolen the heart from within you. The devil's done the same thing to each and every one of us. He has stolen our heart from within us. He's caused us to harden it, to guard it, and to keep it away from God. And she says, I love how she says, this is not who you are. And then she says, this does not define you. Think about that. As that monster, as that creature, as that lava monster that doesn't define who she is. You realize that your sin does not define you, that Jesus Christ does. Right? Your sin, your mess ups, your mistakes don't define you. Right? That's not what she's going to be remembered as. That's not what you're going to be remembered as. Because you're the son and the daughter of the Most High. Right? And don't harden your heart. The Bible also says that sin will harden your heart and deceive you. It deceives you. It draws you away. Right? You begin to think that right things are wrong and wrong things are right. The Bible also says in Hebrews, it says to kind of make each other aware daily. Daily remind each other so that sin doesn't harden your heart and drag you away. Remind each other daily, right? When we see each other, we should say, man, you're the son of the Most High God. What am I doing? I'm not being weird. I'm reminding you, right? That's why we read our Bibles, because I'm going to remind you. Here's the amazing thing is that God left you a love letter, left you a book, and said, if you'll read this, I'm going to remind you of who you are because you've forgotten. You have forgotten who you are. And here's a book to remind you of who you are. And that you say, well, I read the Bible and I don't understand it. It doesn't matter. The Bible understands you, right? It's not about getting it up here, folks. It's about just shoving it in here, right? I don't understand food, how it's made, right? How they cut a cow up and it turns into a hamburger, but it still tastes good. Right? None of that matters that I don't, well, I wonder how the chef made this because if I don't know, I can't eat it. Right? We hate people like that at restaurants. We're like, get out of here. Right? And so it doesn't matter if you don't understand it. It's about just getting it in your heart. And the Bible begins to read you and begins to remind you of who you are and that you're not defined by your sin. You're not defined by your darkness. Amen? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? The Bible says in Romans that if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you shall be saved and that Jesus will dwell on the inside of you. Galatians 2:20 says that I've been crucified with Christ, that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And if you've never done that, if you've never had that happen, if you've never had your heart returned, if your heart is still hard and crusted over and guarded, then I want to give you that opportunity this morning to do that. What I want you to do is I just want you to raise your hand. If you want to receive Jesus, if you want your heart returned, I just want you to raise your hand. You're not doing it for me. You're doing it as an act of faith, saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you. Amen. I see those hands. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray a prayer, and I want everybody to repeat after me boldly and proudly. So y'all repeat this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died on the cross, and I believe in my heart that Jesus raised from the dead. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Would y'all give Jesus a hand clap? If you prayed that for the very first time, I'm so proud of you. I so appreciate your boldness to do that. You've been transferred, the Bible says, out of darkness and into light. Amen. Would y'all go ahead and stand to your feet?